Azur says that the translation of this verse is that never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love, that is, in the way of God the Exalted. And whatever you spend, Allah surely knows it well. The Arabic word bir relates to a high form of virtue, and also entails perfect virtue, as has been elucidated in the translation. Therefore, a true mu'min, that is, a believer who always remains in search of the pleasure of God the Exalted, strives to attain those standards of piety, and he should do so, which would draw him near to God the Exalted. In the Holy Quran, where Allah the Almighty has explained the different manners of drawing near to Him and has drawn attention towards the acts of piety that can accomplish this. There, spending wealth in the way of God the Exalted and also utilizing your capabilities in the way of God the Almighty have all been deemed as virtues. In this verse of the Holy Quran also, spending in the way of God the Almighty has been deemed a very high and prominent virtue. However, this will only be deemed a great virtue, as has been explained in the Quran, when you spend what you love in the way of God the Almighty. It is then that this will be considered a great virtue. Indeed, God Almighty does provide recompense and reward to every single act that is carried out to attain God's pleasure. However, the greatest and highest form of reward is received only when you spend what is most precious and loved by you in the way of God the Almighty. Or it can be said in other words, God the Almighty loves that person the most who, for the sake of acquiring God's contentment and pleasure, strives to attain the highest standards of piety and righteousness, and to acquire this, he spends what is most beloved, what he loves the most, what is best to him in the way of Allah the Almighty, and he does not hesitate at all from doing so. Therefore, true faith, true piety, and the highest forms of sacrifice can only be realized when a person sacrifices something which he loves most of all. To safeguard and strengthen the faith, a believer remains prepared to make every single sacrifice, and he should do so. This is what a true mu'min, a believer, should do. Also, in order to attain the highest standards of virtue and piety, a true mu'min or believer always remains restless. It is mentioned in the Ahadith, the traditions of the Prophet ﷺ, that when this verse was revealed, one Sahabi or companion, Hazrat Abu Talha, may Allah be pleased with him, came before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and submitted to him that I would like to offer my most favorite garden or orchard, which was known as Bir Roha, that I give this in the way of God the Almighty. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, expressed delight upon this, and he explained to him how this should be spent in this way. In short, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always remained zealous of receiving any instruction to carry out a virtue, and how, carrying out that virtue, they would demonstrate their faith, their sincerity and devotion, their loyalty, and also their sacrifice. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has deemed those who spend in the way of God the Almighty as being deserving of extreme envy. Amongst the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim, the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, we find numerous people who attained this standard and rank, who spent in the way of God the Almighty immediately and also publicly. They spent in the way of God in secret and also in the open. And they did this so they could acquire those standards that God the Almighty desires a mu'min or a believer to obtain. God the Almighty was well aware of what their intention was behind these sacrifices that they carried out. Subsequently, God the Exalted rewarded them abundantly. Allah the Exalted made those who carried out ordinary works at a time to become millionaires. And this financial prosperity further enhance their faith and also their belief. The wealth and the property that they accumulated and that was being received by them. Without fear, without hesitation, they went on spending it in the way of God the Almighty. They had the spiritual knowledge and also discernment that by spending in the way of Allah the Almighty, Allah the Almighty would reward them abundantly and without measure, that God the Almighty would reward them 700-fold or even more than this. God the Exalted does not remain indebted to anyone. Most of all, the spiritual prowess of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, infused such an immense and amazing revolution within these companions, due to which they would always remain perturbed and also concerned of how they can make greater efforts than before to obtain the pleasure of God Almighty. This was their ultimate objective, and for this, they would leave no stone unturned in order to achieve this. The lives of the Sahaba, the companions, also upholds and testifies to this, that they did obtain and realize this objective for which they made every possible effort to obtain. They received the honor and certificate of acquiring Allah's pleasure. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writing about these Sahaba, these companions, he says, "Did the esteemed companions arrive at the level and standard that they obtained without cost or for free? Great expenses and troubles are endured to obtain worldly titles. And in the end, ultimately, an ordinary title is obtained which can never give peace of mind and tranquility." Imagine then, the title of radiyallahu anhum, that Allah was pleased with him, which is a sign of peace and tranquility of the heart and mind, and of the pleasure of the noble Lord. Did they easily obtain that title? The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that the fact of the matter is that God's pleasure, which is a source of true happiness, can never be obtained until temporary difficulties are endured. God cannot be cheated. Blessed are those people who do not care about difficulties in order to obtain God's pleasure. This is because eternal happiness and the light of perpetual comfort is only obtained by a mu'min, a believer, after temporary difficulty. Hazur says that in this era, in order to reform the world, to bring the world near to God Almighty, God the Exalted commissioned the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, cites the example of the Sahaba, the companions, and when he does so, it is for the reason that these pure models are examples for us, that we should strive to follow on their footsteps. And if we make efforts to this effect, then we will be those who carry out true standards of piety and those who truly attain the pleasure of God Almighty. Then we witness in the history of Jamaat Ahmadiyya that under the direct tarbiyat or direct moral training that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, provided, he produced thousands of such individuals who, in order to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, were prepared to sacrifice every single thing that they possessed. This energy of their faith, and due to these sacrifices that they carried out on a daily basis in a new splendor and glory, the Jamaat went on surpassing new stages of progress and advancement, even in the time of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Those persons who were blessed with being in the company of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, they thoroughly understood this message of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, that the door of virtue is narrow. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said that the door of virtue is narrow. So he continues that therefore have it inculcated thoroughly, that no one can enter this narrow door by spending what is useless. Because it is decisively apparent that لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُ مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Unless you spend what is most dear, most precious to you. You cannot obtain the rank and status of being the beloved one. Hazur says the Sahaba, the companions, after they obtain the discernment and knowledge of this, they remain restless to carry out sacrifices. That is, the Sahaba, the companions of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. In order to attain the highest levels of virtue, they would submit to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, to pray for them. And they also made efforts to support this. Subsequently, they also witnessed the grace and bounties of Allah the Almighty upon them. Here I will present a few examples before you. Hadrat Sufi Nabi Bakht Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who migrated to Qadian, relates, "Once I went to Jalsa Salana, and I said to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that I wish to say something to you in private. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, 'Come in.' Incidentally, that entrance remained open, and my friends and other companions also came in. I mentioned to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that my father says, 'I have given my son good education. Since he has started employment, he does not serve me.' So he said this to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that my father, he says that I gave my son education, and now that he is employed, he does not even serve me. So he said further that my wife says that, 'What a good Ahmadi you are, that whatever jewelry I have has all been sold.' So he said that my father complains and also my wife complains. So he says further to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that here I observe that for the service of this community, your followers sacrifice thousands of rupees. So please pray that God the Almighty doubles or triples my pay so that I can also serve you." Hazur says that on the one hand, his father was complaining that, "You are not serving me. I have given you so much education and yet you do not serve me." On the other hand, his wife complains that her jewelry is being sold off. Yet, he says that when I see the sacrifices being offered here, when I see the pious actions that are being carried out, that people come here and leave thousands of rupees in sacrifice. So he said that please pray that Allah also enables me to do this. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, listening to all of this, said, "Very well, I shall pray. Keep on reminding me to pray." He says, "At the time, my salary was 55 rupees. When I went to Lahore, I sent a letter of reminder on a card to the promised Messiah alayhi salam to pray. During this time, I found employment from the Uganda Railway of a salary of 120 rupees and additional 35 rupees. When I received my first salary, I immediately offered this to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, as Nazrana, because it was in my heart that I should give this as chanda for the Jamaat. After this, I departed for Africa. As long as I remained in Africa, I would receive a salary threefold of what I initially received." He says, "This is a miracle of the acceptance of the prayer of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace." Hadrat Munshi Zafar Ali Rahmat Sahib, through Mia Muhammad Ahmed Sahib, narrates, "The late Chaudhry Rustam Ali Sahib was an inspector in the railways. His salary was 150 rupees per month. He was an extremely sincere member of our Jamaat, one deserving of mention. He would keep aside 20 rupees for his own expenditure, and the remaining entire salary he would send to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and this would always remain his routine." Hazur says, "Then observe how for the service of the faith and in order to render sacrifices, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, instilled in the hearts of even the poor people this zeal to offer sacrifice. These were those persons who had no income. They were very poor. They had large families and many children. They could not make ends meet. Yet how they would offer sacrifices." Hadrat Qazi Qamruddin Sahib, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates regarding Sayyid Divan Shah Sahib. He writes, after mentioning the narration, that, "I would often ask Sayyid Sahib, that do you go to Qadian for a specific task?" Hazur says, "Because Sayyid Sahib would go through the village of Ghazi Sahib and travel at night. Sayyid Divan Shah Sahib was of Narawal and he would pass through for this reason. He would travel on foot. He would walk from Narawal and go to Qadian. This is quite a distance. This is at least 100 miles, even if you were to take a shorter route. So Ghazi Sahib said he asked Sain Sahib that do you go to Gadian for a specific task or just for the sake of meeting the promised Messiah on whom be peace? So Sain Divan Shah Sahib would respond, as I am poor, I cannot pay chanda. I am going so that I can weave the webbing of the bedsteads of the guest house and thus pay my chanda. As who says, he would weave the webbing of the bedsteads, and through this labor, he would substitute not being able to pay chanda. So therefore, these were the standards of these people's sacrifices. I have given just a few examples. This was a standard of such persons who were blessed with being in the company of the promised Messiah, no be peace. There are numerous examples of this kind. But due to the shortage of time, I have only presented but a few examples. What I want to present and what our hearts should be immersed and filled with praise of, and what should cause us to submit and bow before God the Almighty to an even greater extent than before, is that through the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, in order to establish the banner and flag of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in the entire world, the Jamaat or the community that Allah the Almighty established, the lofty levels and standards of sacrifice within that Jamaat, the standard of spending what you love and what is precious to you in the way of Allah the Almighty within this Jamaat, all of this did not end with the lives of the companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. All of this did not remain for just one or two generations after. In fact, even after the passing of 100 years, this zeal and enthusiasm to carry out sacrifices with the grace of Almighty Allah remains firmly established. In fact, to an even greater extent, new converts amongst Ahmadis of various countries, it would appear that they are competing with one another to spend more in the way of Allah the Exalted. Today, when the world spends its money for comforts, luxuries, and also materialistic benefits, or they desire to do so, an Ahmadi, rather, gives this secondary importance and goes on offering sacrifices in the way of the faith. I believe that in order to open the eyes of the world, these sacrifices being made by Ahmadis are sufficient to prove the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Be it Asia, Europe, Africa, or America, in every place we find these scenes of sacrifices by people who are offering the sacrifices. In order to understand the message of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and to put it into full practice, such persons try their level best. So therefore, as long as we give precedence to the faith over the world, and we continue in this endeavor, no enemy can harm us in the slightest, inshallah, God enabling. In order to strengthen the faith, I will also present a few accounts of the sacrifices being made today. The first account I have selected is from India, and it has been narrated by the Nazim Sahib Waqf-e Jadid. He says that I went in the capacity as Waqf-e Jadid Nazim, on a visit to Kerala and Kerulai. I went there in order to make the budget. When I reached there, I met a devout Ahmadi. He said to me that I have just very recently started a furniture business. Placed down my pledge for the Waqf-e Jadid for the new year as 400,000. He said, in addition, whatever profit I receive from this new business, separate to any chanda, I shall give 10% of that profit to the chanda Waqf-e Jadid. Subsequently, Allah's grace descended upon him and his business flourished. He had instructed his wife to take out Waqf-e Jadid contributions from the daily income. When he calculated, at the end of the year, 550,000 rupees was collected for Waqf-e Jadid, and he contributed this all for the next year. He said that instead of 10%, I will offer 25% of all income from my business to the Waqf-e Jadid. Then, staying in India, Inspector Sahib Waqf Jadid narrates that in March 2011, I went to Jamaat Ahmadiyya Bathari in order to prepare the budget of Waqf Jadid. When I appealed to a lady and I gave her the examples of the Ahmadiyya Muslim lady sacrifices of life and wealth, she pledged to give the equivalent of 1 month's salary for Waqf Jadid. She was a teacher of low standing. She did not have any exceptional salary, as if she was living a very comfortable life. She had a salary of 5,000 rupees, which she wrote down as a pledge. He said, I reached then another place where her father lived, who was a sadr, or the president of the Jamaat. I mentioned to him that your daughter has offered great sacrifices, and he started crying profusely in delight. He summoned his eldest daughter and said, your sister has made this and this sacrifice. You are elder than her. What do you have to say about this? So that daughter immediately increased her pledge by 1,000 rupees, considering the fact that she was elder, and saying that I must give more. Now look at those who entered into Ahmadiyya just a few years before, their devotion and sincerity, and also their zeal for offering sacrifices. Amir Sahib Mali relates that an Ahmadi friend of our Jamaat works in the Union Council. His name is Taravri Sahib. He is regular in offering chanda, and he's at the forefront of giving financial sacrifices. He mentioned that in order to carry out the work of the census, a team of 32 people was formed. It was said to them that you would have to work constantly for 1 month and you would not have a single day off. They were told that they would receive 100,000 franc sifa for this. Hazro says that every member of that census team was offered 100,000 franc sifa for carrying out this work. So he says, we pledged that we would carry this out, and there were only 6 days left for the work to end when the Fana region Ishtama came about. In fact, it was the Jalsa. He said, first I pondered apologizing to the Jamaat and not attending the Jalsa, but then my heart decreed that I must give precedence to Jamaat work. This is a pledge that I made. The work of God would take priority. Even if I did not receive 100,000 franc sifa, then so be it. So he said, I left that work and I made the plan to go for the Jalsa. My other colleagues reproached me severely that why are you losing out on this money? He said, when I departed from the Jalsa a week later, the mayor of the region said that you broke the contract and left. But I thought in my heart that you went for the sake of God. So therefore I have set aside 100,000 franc sifa for you. Come and take it from me. After this, he says that the deputy mayor called me, who was a supervisor of the work. He also said, although you left, somehow the thought has embedded itself in my heart that you should receive the amount, and he also gave him 100,000 franc sifa that I have set this aside for you. Then the in charge of the accounts called him to the office. He also gave him 100,000 franc sifa and said, because you were absent, this is why I have set aside 100,000 for you. So take this now, but do not tell anyone about this. All three of them said, do not tell anyone else. When he asked the other colleagues, he found that all of them had some money deducted from that amount they were due, and not a single one of them received a complete 100,000 franc sifa, whereas I received 300,000 franc sifa. And this only was as a result of giving precedence to the faith over the world. Promptly, he gave 20,000 franc sifa from that amount that he received and gave it towards chanda. Then there is another example, and this is from Gambia. Amir Sahib Gambia writes that one day an Ahmadi friend, Kutu Turalve Sahib, came to my office. He said that he wished to give 1,000 dalasi by way of chanda. He said, I can be indebted to people, but not to God. Amir Sahib says that he is very poor and also underprivileged. With great difficulty, he supports his family. Yet, in financial sacrifices, he always complies with the Nizam, the system of the Jamaat, and he is always prepared to give something or the other in this way. After some time, he mentioned that after giving 1,000 dalasi in chanda, just a short duration after, he received a greater amount from somewhere else. He says, it is my belief that whenever anyone spends in the way of Allah the Almighty, Allah gives in accordance with it. In fact, He gives even more. Azur says, therefore, this is giving precedence to Allah the Almighty over personal desires and also personal longings. This is an account from Sierra Leone. I have just selected a few accounts from certain countries, whereas there are actually countless accounts received through the reports. So the missionary from Makini in Sierra Leone relates that Kamara Sahib is a sincere and devout Ahmadi, but financially he's not very well off. I went to his village for the collection of Tariq-e-Jadid Chanda, and I discovered that he still had some arrears in Tariq-e-Jadid, and the year was coming to its end. When I went to his house, Azru says, here we cannot envisage the state that they were in that house. So he says that at this time I only have enough money to buy 20 cups of rice so that I have enough food for tomorrow in the household. Azru says that he said that I have only so much income to make arrangements for food until tomorrow for my family at home. Otherwise I have no other means. But he said, I want to give this to cover my arrears. He did not care at all. He said, I have explained to my wife and children that Allah the Almighty will make arrangements for the food himself. He said, on that same night, one of his sisters sent them a sack of rice from a neighboring village. God the Exalted in this manner provided for them. From Ivory Coast, the missionary writes that a new convert Khadim, Harun Sahib, in the Sandra city, is involved in the egg trade or business. When the local mu'allim or teacher inculcated him to go to the Tarbiyat center to obtain Tarbiyat, that is moral training, so he immediately prepared and with another colleague, he went to the Tarbiyati center in Ambingro. He completed a 3-month course there and found out more information and details about Ahmadiyyad. He went with this consideration that I am going for the sake of Allah the Almighty. I put my trust in Allah the Almighty and I entrust my business with my younger brother. And he had this hope and this expectation that Allah would not let his business fail. After completing his 3-month course, when he returned, he said, I was astonished beyond all bounds that my business was churning out an extraordinary amount of profit, such profit that I'd never received while I was physically present at my business. So he increased his chanda from 500 to 1,000 francs. Then Allah the Almighty blessed that further. So he increased his chanda further, and now with the grace of Almighty Allah, he gives 4,000 francs monthly. In the chanda of Tehreek-e-Jadid and Waqf-e-Jadid, he does not only contribute himself, but rather his bereaved parents who perhaps would not Ahmadi, he also pays on their behalf and includes them in this way. Indeed, he was a new convert, so his parents were most certainly not Ahmadi, so he gives on their behalf as well. Amir Sahib Burkina Faso writes that in the Bobo city, a new convert, Darawi Suleiman Sahib, says that I heard in the Khutbah Jummah, the Friday sermon, regarding the importance of Waqf-e Jadid. So the entire night I was unable to sleep, that Jamaat Ahmadiyya is carrying out such great services and I am not fully participating in this. So the next day, he gave 4,500 franc sifa in the local currency for Waqf-e Jadid. But the next night he was still restless. He came to the mission house and he gave 4,500 more. He said, now I am satisfied. The missionary in charge from Switzerland writes, an African Ahmadi friend who is from Nigeria, his name is Idris Sahib. He works in a multinational company. When he came to Switzerland, he gave a lump sum of 9,000 Swiss francs to the Jamaat accounts. He also left his telephone number and name. So the missionary Sahib says, when I saw the name, it seemed like a new name, and I was astonished at who is this person. When I contacted him via phone, I asked him that you have sent such a large sum, what is this for? So he responded that it has been 3 months since I have come to Switzerland, and I am sending my chanda. So the missionary said that you have sent more than 3 months chanda. He responded that for 6 months I was in such a country where there was no Jamaat, and that chanda is also in arrears. This is why I have given this lump sum, that is 9,000 Swiss francs. Hazur says that this is the standard and level of faith in such persons, that even if people are not aware, Allah the Almighty is aware of everything. This is why we should never be in arrears or indebted to God the Exalted. Then a Pakistani Ahmadi friend works in a company in Switzerland. He had pledged 5,000 Swiss francs towards Janda. He was hopeful of receiving a bonus of 5,000 from his company. However, he had also considered that when I received a bonus, I would also have to spend it on certain other personal necessities. When the time was drawing nearer to pay off the pledge that he had promised towards the Janda, so he said that I will pay the Janda, inshallah, God willing, and he did pay the Janda. He completely abandoned his personal needs. Later, he mentioned that Allah the Almighty bestowed such grace and bounty upon me that the firm, instead of giving me 5,000, gave me 10,000, that is, gave me double from the initial amount. In this way, his personal needs were fulfilled, and he was also able to meet the pledge towards Waqf-e Jadeed. Similarly, our Murabbi from Benin writes that our Muallim or teacher went to collect Janda Tehreek-e-Jadeed from a certain place. So Abdul Latif Sahib paid 3,100 franc sifa and he said that, pray, if Allah the Exalted gives me further income, I would be able to send further Janda. Through Grod's doing, that same week, Latif Sahib called the Muallim and he gave him a further 7,000 franc sifa in Janda. He said, on the day when I gave you 3,100 franc sifa, on that same day a patient came to see me. After treating him, he initially gave me 34,000. However, explaining that he did not have enough money to cover his return journey, he took back 3,000 francs and said, I need this. And he gave me 31,000 francs. He said, immediately, my heart testified that God the Exalted had truly increased my initial amount tenfold. I had 3,100 and now I have 31,000. This is why I am increasing my janda. And now I am sending you 7,000. Our missionary from Liberia writes that I went on a tour to a certain village where an 8-year-old diffel or boy was running errands for me, for example, bringing water, taking care of his bag and other small tasks around the house. Azur says the children there work with great passion and zeal to serve the Murabbi or missionaries there. So the missionary, being delighted with the boy, gave him a reward of 5 Liberian dollars. Azur says a Liberian dollar has a very low value. The missionary continues that when after the prayer, I drew the attention of the Jamaat towards paying Waqf-e Jadeed and I gave special emphasis to include children. So that same boy stood up and he whispered in the ear of his father that I also want to give Janda and I have money for this purpose. The father said, if you have money, then give it. Subsequently, the child gave that $5 that he had received from the missionary and gave it towards Janda. The passion and zeal in this child had an impact upon the other children such that they also acquired money from their parents and thus became a part of this scheme. The missionary from Kyrgyzstan writes that a new Ahmadi friend took to bear the Pledge of Allegiance approximately 3 years ago, Zamir Sahib. In terms of the Khilafah Jubilee that was commemorated in 2008, in light of the central directive, some money was accumulated. He earned $66 at the time. It is a poor country. He says, when our missionary Bisharat Ahmed Sahib said to him that you should also write down a pledge for the Khilafah Jubilee Jalsa, he wrote down a pledge of $44. When he received his income, he went straight to the mission house and he discharged his pledge saying that if I go home, I will spend that money. So he only went home with $22 from that 44. Allah the Almighty honored his sincerity and devotion. After a short while, he received additional work, where he earned a further $150. And now he is working in a foreign company for the last 3 months, and with the great Almighty Allah, his income is $770. Now he has even joined up to Vasiyat. when the missionary said to him that after visit, instead of 1/16, you would have to give 1/10 gender. So he responded that since the day I did my bet, my pledge of allegiance, I have been giving 1/10. Similarly, a new convert lady is from Kyrgyzstan. Her name is Yildiz Sahiba. She is extremely sincere and devout. She has taken the bet, the pledge of allegiance, last year, but she did not give any gender during that entire year. When she was inculcated regarding gender and its importance was clarified to her, and it was explained to her which genders are obligatory and which genders a person can give of their own volition. This was being appealed to her in the mosque at the time. The next day she said to the Sadr Sahib that I need to meet you. Sadr Sahib said that at the moment I am going for some other work elsewhere. But she said, no, I want to meet you immediately. So she came to the Sadr Sahib and she paid 15,000 in the Kyrgyz currency by way of gender. Sadr Sahib said that you are giving such a large sum. But she said, I have calculated this and this covers my gender for the entire year as well as gender for the other tahriks or financial schemes. This is why I am giving this. Subsequently, she gave her gender for the entire year. Hazuru says, these are the stories of devotion and sincerity and loyalty of the new Ahmadis. These are the stories of their sacrifices, how zeal and passion is infusing within them. After these few accounts, I announce a new year of Waqf-e Jadid. I also will provide certain details. From 1st January, the new year of Waqf-e Jadid begins. This is the 54th year. In fact, this is the end of the 54th year and the 55th year of Waqf-e Jadid begins. With the grace of Almighty Allah, the total outcome of the sacrifices from the entire world, from all the reports that have been received thus far, because there are many reports, for example, from Africa and elsewhere, which are not received or are received late, they are not included. So up till now, the total collection is above £4,693,000. In comparison to last year, this is an increase of £510,000. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Pakistan, as per last year, maintained their first position. Despite the fact of terrible financial circumstances there, they have not allowed any shortcomings to creep into their financial sacrifices. May Allah Almighty bless their wealth and keep them in His protection and refuge them from all evil. After this is America. After America is Britain. Vakalat Mal had presumed that Britain had obtained the second rank. But in the last report sent by America, because of that, they left Britain slightly behind. It is a very minor difference of just £11,000. In the first list, Britain was at the second position. But after that, the report that was sent to me, in accordance with it, we had to place Britain at the third position. But the increase in the contributions from Britain, that is extraordinary and also astonishing. May Allah the Almighty bless the wealth and also the lives of all those contributing from here. Here as well, financial circumstances are dire. There are also other expenditures, other agendas. Then there are mosques that are going to be constructed. Attention has been drawn towards this. In spite of all of this, in Tehreek-e Jadid and also in Waqf-e Jadid, the UK Jamaat has made extraordinary increases with the grace of Almighty Allah. It appears that they now thoroughly understand the significance of حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that unless you spend out of what you love. May Allah the Almighty enable them to march forward and increase in all other types of piety and virtue, and similarly, may all other jamaats also do so. Lajna UK as well have also played a significant role in this. They have leaped forward in Tehreek-e Jadid and now also in Waqf-e Jadid. May Allah the Exalted reward and bless all sisters and also all girls. Britain is at third, and after that is Germany. Then there is Canada, then India, Australia comes next, Indonesia is after, then there is Belgium, and then Switzerland. Based on the local currencies, the rankings of those who have increased. At first position is India. They have made an extraordinary increase of approximately 36%. Then there is Belgium, despite being a small country and a small Jamaat. They have made a huge leap of approximately 30% increase. Then there is Australia. Then there is Britain, and then Indonesia. In per head or per capita contributions, America is first, then there is Switzerland, Britain, Belgium, and then Ireland. It appears that USA have reached such a point where unless they increase in their numbers, they cannot increase in their contributions, but there is room for improvement in the UK, and they can improve their position. In terms of total collections, the top 5 ranked Jamaats in Africa. First is Ghana, then there is Nigeria, Mauritius at 3rd, then Burkina Faso, and then Uganda. With the grace of Almighty Allah, this year also there was an increase of 90,000 contributors to the Waqf-e Jadeed scheme. The total number of contributors to Waqf-e Jadeed has now reached 690,000. There is still great room for improvement. I have told the America Jamaat to increase their numbers. Wakalat-e Maal will give them a target and they need to increase their numbers. New converts should be included in this scheme. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has said sternly that inculcate the habit of sacrifice from the first day. If the Jamaats in Africa make efforts to this effect where there is room for great improvement, then inshallah we will witness a favorable increase. Whatever targets are sent from Wakalat-e Maal, they need to strive to attain those. They need to increase their numbers. Even if it is a small amount they contribute, the numbers should increase. In terms of increase in contributors, Nigeria, Niger, Sierra Leone, Burkina Faso, Senegal, Benin, Uganda, Ivory Coast, etc. have made prominent efforts. I inculcated the Ghana Jamaat in this slide, but they have made scant efforts. They need to quicken their efforts in this regard. The top 3 contributing Jamaats in Pakistan. First is Lahore, second is Rabwa, and Karachi is at 3rd. District-wise, the top 10 Jamaats in Pakistan. First is Sialkot, then there is Rawalpindi, Islamabad at 3rd, Faisalabad at 4th, Sheikhupur at 5th, 6th is Sargodha, 7th is Gujranwala. Then there is Umargod at 8th, at 9th is Gujarat, and at 10th is Bahawalnagar. Amongst the 3 large Jamaats, the ranking at Fal is 1st is Lahore, Karachi is at 2nd, and Rabwa is at 3rd. District-wise, the top contributing Jamaats in Pakistan for Atfal is Sialkot is 1st, Rawalpindi is 2nd, then there is Islamabad at 3rd, 4th is Faisalabad, 5th is Sheikhupura, Gujranwala is at 6th, Umargod at 7th, 8th is Sargodha, 9th is Narawal, and Gujarat is at 10th. The top 5 Jamaats in America in terms of collection, 1st is Los Angeles Inland Empire, Silicon Valley is at 2nd, Detroit is at 3rd, at 4th is Chicago, and Seattle is at 5th. In Britain, the top 10 Jamaats in terms of collection, 1st is Raynes Park, at 2nd is New Malden, Worcester Park is at 3rd, Fazal Masjid is at 4th, at 5th is West Croydon, 6th is Birmingham West, Lymington Spa at 7th, Manchester South at 8th, at 9th is Gillingham, and at 10th is Southall. Region-wise, the top 5 Jamaats collection-wise, 1st is South Region, 2nd is Midlands, London is at 3rd, then there is Islamabad, and then Middlesex at 5th. The top 5 regions in Germany, Hamburg is at 1st, Frankfurt is 2nd, Grossgrau at 3rd, at 4th is Darmstadt, and at 5 is Wiesbaden. In Germany, the top 10 Jamaats, 1st is Rodemark, 2nd is Cologne, 3rd is Florsheim, 4th is Neuss, 5th is Nidda, 6th is Fulda, 7th is Friedberg, at 8th is Rodgau, Mahdiabad is at 9th, and at 10th is Hanau. The top ranked Jamaats in Canada, 1st is Peace Village, Rexdale is at 2nd, then there is Western South, there is Woodburg, and then there is Edmonton. The top 5 Jamaats in Canada, First is Western South. Second is Peace Village South. Third is Western Northwest. Fourth is Durham. And fifth is Hamilton North. The top ranked Jamaats in India, province wise. First is Kerala. Then there is Tamil Nadu. Jammu Kashmir. Andhra Pradesh is next. Then West Bengal. Karnataka, Punjab, Orissa, Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra. Hazur says these do not seem to be provinces, they appear to be cities, but then Delhi comes at the end. Collection-wise, the top-ranked Jamaats in India are as follows. First is Calcutta, then Kerala, Kannur Town, Kadiyan, Hyderabad, Coimbatore, Calcutta, Chennai, Bangalore, Rishinagar, Karunagapalli. To all of those who eagerly participated in the Waqf-e Jadid Chanda, may Allah the Almighty bless their wealth profusely. Alongside this, as I said, I announced the new year of Waqf-e Jadid today. May God the Exalted enable everyone to make larger sacrifices than before, inshallah, God enabling, and bless the sacrifices. May God the Almighty immensely bless the wealth of the Jamaat. In terms of the financial situation of the world, it is the mere grace of God the Almighty that Jamaat Ahmadiyya is able to carry on with its plans and also projects and complete them, and is being enabled to make further plans as well. Without the grace of Almighty Allah, this would not be possible. Therefore, we should pray for the Jamaat's funds and wealth to be blessed, and you should pray for this most profusely. Finally, at the end, I will read a funeral prayer after the Friday prayer. This funeral prayer is of a famous poet of ours, a holy and saintly person, Muhtaram Abdul Manan Nahid Sahib, son of Hadrat Khwaja Muhammadin Sahib, who was a Sahabi, a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He passed away on 1st January 2012 at the age of 93. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Manan Sahib belonged to a respectable and honourable Kashmiri family in 1919. His father, as I said, was Khwaja Muhammadin Sahib. Hadrat Munshi Muhammad Ismail Sahib of Sialkot, who was a Sahabi, a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, was his maternal grandfather. Hadrat Mulana Abdul Karim Sahib of Sialkot, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, was the uncle of Nahid Sahib's mother. And this is where Nahid Sahib's mother was brought up. Because they lived in Qadian, they would frequently go to the promised Messiah alayhi salam's house. So his mother also received great love and affection from the promised Messiah, in whom be peace, and his wife Hadrat Ammajan. Respected Nahid Sahib, as many knowledgeable people are aware, and also people are generally aware, he was a very well-known poet. His poems and verses of poetry were very profound and deep. He received his initial education in Sialkot. In 1940, he graduated with BA from Punjab University. In 1941, although he obtained admittance for a master's, because he received employment, he left his education. And in 1942, he received employment in the military accounts. And remaining with the same department, he retired in 1978 as a deputy controller of the military accounts. He was unable to serve in different locations. And wherever he worked, he also took part in Jamaat activities. He was an extremely soft-natured person, full of humility and humbleness. He was a very good poet. But the junior poets, the younger poets, he would always encourage them. He would always speak with great etiquettes, honor, and also regard. He was a necessary part of Jamaat's poetry recitals. He was extremely pious person. He came twice here and also took part in the poetry recitals, once in the era of the fourth Khilafat and once during my era. He always strove to fulfill the conditions of the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance. He was a great model of trustworthiness. He was regular in prayers, and he was regular in offering the tahajjud prayers. He showed great compassion and sympathy towards poor people, and he also displayed much forgiveness to people. He displayed great reverence and respect for the Khulafa and the holy and elder people of the Jamaat. He was extremely obedient to the Khilafat, the Ahmadiyyat. In fact, it should be said that he was at the forefront of being obedient to Khilafat. He was also at the forefront of giving financial sacrifices. In short, he was a selfless person. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank. His wife passed away before him, but they had fostered a son. That fostered son who they brought up, the impact of the manner in which they brought them up, may Allah the Almighty enable that to always remain. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he is also being enabled to serve the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty enable the fostered son as well to continue to serve the Jamaat with sincerity, devotion and loyalty.